You know what she just said about quick? I remember I spoke one time for her in our church, before she came here. And as I was walking in the foyer like you have here, I heard some people talking. I heard one person say, "Larry speaking today? Good, we're getting out early." So I'll try to live up to that the best I can. My wife and I have been with Pastor Monique for several years. So before I start, I'd like to say three things about her. She doesn't know I'm saying this. First, she has a way of getting you to do stuff. The fact that I'm standing here proves that. Second, she absolutely believes in the power of prayer and group prayer. You may not know, but every day she's up at 4 in the morning on her knees praying for all of us. And the third thing about her, as I know for a fact, she loves every one of you. It's a good start. My wife and I decided to come to this church because we enjoyed Monique as our pastor and also because she's our friend. And, I hope you can all hear me. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Not very well? Okay, what do I do to change that? Am I doing better? I mean, we don't want to waste my time, right? Okay, I can do it this way. Yeah, I'll just set it here. My wife and I, decided to come to this, because of the pastor and stuff, but the reason we kept coming is because we got to know a lot of you, and we found it to be a very nice place with good people that care about people being here. So, here we are. When I served as a council chairman, I learned that the pastor, the council, and all the good planning in the world cannot cause significant church growth. Only you have growth if you have a healthy church. And I'd like to share some thoughts on being a healthy church that I've learned. Some of it's a script and some of it's my comments. There are two basic types of churches. One is the hospice church, a place where the members do not want change, a place to go to just be in your comfort zone until you pass on. Studies have indicated that these churches are the ones people are asking, why did they close? The other is a hospital church, where we love and care for each other. We are excited about our faith with a desire to grow our church. I believe this is the type of church we're in right now. Have you ever thought we have this nice church and we are a loving, caring church? Why aren't we growing faster? Studies have shown that successful disciple-making, growing churches have one thing in common: a vision for their future. But a critical first step to pursuing our vision is to have a healthy church. In their book, Take Your Church's Pulse, Tom Costner and John Wagenfeld discuss the 10 vital signs that offer insight into the health of the church. There's a combination of commitments and functions. The first commitment is to have a clear and inspired vision. A vision is a clear mental view of a preferred future, a future God is leading us into. A church without a vision runs the danger of having individual visions for the church. This creates a divided vision and can slow or stop progress. The second commitment is to have a mobilizing leadership. In John 3, 1 through 17, Jesus called the disciples to serve and not be served, to teach and lead with humility. What an awesome responsibility for our leaders to follow. But it is a good guideline as they motivate and involve the members in the church vision, task, and in every area of the ministry. A motivated ministering body is the next commitment. Too many churches have a high unemployment rate, as defined by members sitting in the pews without a job. This can be caused by a pastor or leadership not sharing their responsibilities. But it also can be caused by a congregation that wants someone else to do it. Mobilizing leaders create a motivated body when they help people identify their spiritual gifts, help people identify their passions, because God didn't wire all of us the same way. Match people to ministry according to their gifts and talents, and work together as a team, so everyone can effectively work for the same purpose. A motivated church also requires you, the congregation, to willingly participate. For example, if 60 members gave 4 hours a week, 12,480 hours of God's work would be done in 1 year. The fourth commitment is proper stewardship of our resources. When we talk about resources, we think of the three T's: time, talent, and treasures. Time is squandered when members are either uninvolved or left to follow dull routines. It is a leadership's responsibility to custom fit our talents and tasks that will keep us motivated and fulfilled, creating a desire to serve Jesus. Leaders and members need to know Scripture well. We are shaped by biblical principles that affect all aspects of our church. But knowing Scripture isn't enough to successfully reach our community. This comes from listening to people, building relationships with them, and learning everything possible from and about them. Understanding how people of various cultures make decisions is basic for trust. Some of the functions of a healthy church are, first, a compelling witness. God is the one who makes things grow. The Bible is clear about this, and that the church, you and I, are God's instruments. It begins by building relationships with individuals to get to know them, learn how they feel, think, and live. What are their hopes and their fears? We do this to establish a relationship of trust, which earns us the right to be heard. It will also be a guide to help people find Jesus. A second function is to be a caring and welcoming community. Acts 2:42, 44, and 46 talks about devoting ourselves to fellowship, to be together, and break bread daily with glad and sincere hearts. Churches that grow know how valuable it is to have good relations where members can practice the love and friendship they share in concrete ways. It is amazing how, when churches have division within the church, God keeps visitors away. That one could be repeated because it's really important. Our worship and prayer lives, both as individuals and collectively, should be rich and dynamic. Prayer ought not be a simple laundry list of our wants, but a meaningful conversation with God where we listen as well as speak. Worship and prayer are cornerstones of all that we do. Church health is a key to church growth. Our individual physical health depends on all of our body's systems to be in balance. The same balance is the secret of church health. In his writings, Pastor Rick Warren wrote and said, "Forget church growth. Aim for church health." Of the three verses he selected from his message, my favorite was James 3:18. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Pastor Brad Kalajanin of Cornerstone Church in Grand Rapids started with a small church and has grown to a mega church with three campuses. He consults with churches that request his help. An area he highlights is visitor perception. What do they see the first time they visit your church? The first contact is the greeter. Are they focused on you? Are they warm? Are they helpful? Pastor Brad decided to attend a church that had asked for his church and his help in Pennsylvania. When he opened the door to enter, a greeter hollered at him, "Close the door, it's cold in here." I want to tell you, he didn't feel welcome. And what about pews? Did you ever hear, "This is where I always sit"? Often we do this with a regular group of friends. I know my wife are guilty of this too. As we sit in our groups, we may not make newcomers feel welcome. My wife and I enjoy being here with you in this church, though. Please understand my next comments are not intended to be critical, but as something to think about for the future. It is a tale of my wife, Lois, and I attending two United Methodist churches for the first time. The first time we attended this church, there was no greeter. When we entered the foyer, we saw many people chatting over coffee. They looked up at us, and then went on with their conversations. The highlight was two women greeting us warmly as we entered the sanctuary, and they're sitting right back there now. At the other church we visited, we were pleasantly greeted at the door. When we entered the foyer, several people left the groups they were talking to join us. We were asked to join them for a coffee. And as they learned about us, we were invited to join the choir. I was invited to a men's breakfast. And my wife was invited to several women's activities. Based on first impressions, which church do you think we might join? There is a statistic that 17% of the people do most of the work in church. Common excuses for non-involvement are health, and I don't have the time. For the 83% in this category, let me offer a few ideas that take minimum time and effort. First, you could simply add 15 minutes a day to your prayer time, or you could join our pastor for 30 minutes a week for group prayer. We can try to live the attitudes of acceptance, respect, love, and forgiveness. Acceptance, not tolerance. When we simply tolerate a person's actions or style of church service or music, we send a negative feeling that can be very hurtful. And the power of body language can also have the same effect on the person sitting next to you. Acceptance continues to be an absolute must when we meet people, particularly on the street or in church. How each of us handles that meeting could determine if a person becomes a new disciple or a member of this church. When we are making disciples for Christ, it does not matter if that person is black or white, young or old, rich or poor. We are all God's children. And please remember, you could be that person's best chance to learn about Jesus. So let them know you care, and they are welcome here. Living the attitudes may be more complicated than you think. For example, forgiveness is more than accepting an apology. How about that person we haven't talked to in 30 years? How about the friend we're not talking to now? Or how about that person in church we resent and try to avoid? It is difficult to be at peace with yourself and God when these issues exist. And the best part of living the attitudes is that it requires no time at all, just a change in ourselves. How about 8 or 9 people deciding to take 1 hour a week to practice and have a beautiful choir up here? Or how about starting a phone ministry where several people can call different members of the church and just find out how they're doing? You can do this in 15 to 30 minutes a week sitting in your easy chair at home. Or how about just staying after church for 15 minutes and talking to newcomers and your friends over a cup of coffee? I'm sure you got a lot more ideas than I have on this subject. 3 quick thoughts picked up at a conference before I close. First, a true story. A man became bored sitting in his lawn chair watching the day go by. This happened in New Jersey. He decided he would tie several helium-filled balloons to his chair and get a different view of the city. Instead of rising 100 feet like he planned, he rose 1,600 feet, interfering with the air traffic over the local airport. When he finally landed, reporters asked him why he did it. He said, "I just can't sit there anymore." As Christians, we can't just sit there anymore. The second thought, churches that pray see miracles. And the third thought, a healthy you is not about you. It's about them. This message is about what a healthy church is, and the level of that health depends on the health of each of us. And we need to change accordingly. I know the process of looking at the realities of where we are can be difficult, as is making the changes that are necessary. But it is a step towards becoming a healthier church. And as Einstein said, how can you expect a better result doing things the same old way? This beautiful church is our church. But in reality, it's God's church. We are simply caretakers. And as caretakers, we need to maintain and grow for the future in a way God would want us to. I cannot overstress the importance of how each of us can have an impact on the health of this church or any church. Each of us has the power, with God's help, to make a positive difference in someone's life. I'd like to thank you for spending a little time with me. Maybe we got something to think about.